the crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Another victory for the Brew Crew, a 6-2 start in their first 8 games of the season. They have won their second series of the year. I'm Dominic Catronio. Thanks for joining us. We got an extended Brewers Extra Innings today. We are going to go all the way up to Bucks Shootaround at 5:30 tonight as they get ready to host the Knicks. The Brewers win today by a 12-4 final. And pleased for me for the first time this season to have Jerry Augustine joining us here on the program. Augie, I know you're a pitcher, man, but you had to smile at the offensive approach today.
Boy, anytime you get 12 runs, it's pretty special. But, you know, got to give Conray his due. You know, he's one of the guys that is also, you look at to be one of the integral parts of this starting staff. He went out and gave up a run in the first and run in the second, but settled down and pitched very well. But this ball club, what they've been able to do, other team scores, they battle back, they put three in the – they score one in the first, we score three in the first, they score one in the second, we come back and score three more. This offense – is just swinging the bat very well. A lot of two-out hits, hitting the ball the opposite way. And, you know, you look at what this team did on the offensive side. I just look, the top four hitters were 9-for-19, on base 10 times, scored 9 runs, and had 8 RBIs. You get output from that from the top of your order, you got a good chance to win a ball game.
Indeed. And let's start with the top of that order, specifically the very top, Oliver Dunn. So this just came out of the clubhouse, courtesy Kurt Hogue of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, after their session with Pat Murphy, that it was actually Quentin Berry's idea, first base coach, outfield instructor, base running instructor for the Brewers, to say, hey, what if you put Oliver Dunn in the leadoff spot as opposed to Sal Frelick? And I'll have to ask Q myself on what his inspiration was for that. But to me, that makes perfect sense. Sal, in my opinion, in my own eyes here, he's been pressing a little bit at the top of the order. He's obviously been playing out of position. Maybe he should have caught that ball on Friday night that was a ground rule double for Urias. He's been playing third base all of spring. Now he's in center field. Today he's in left. A lot going on for him. Hey, let's move him down the order. Give him a breather. Oliver Dunn has been putting together great ABs, and you can consider him the spark today. The infield single in the first. He stole second base on a great first inning challenge by Pat Murphy. And the Brewers end up scoring 3 runs in the first inning. And Pat Murphy made sure to give all the credit to Q Berry. But hey, it was a little stroke of genius there.
It really was. You know, the one thing you look at hitters, and I think when you're a former player, you see guys go up and they relax at the plate. And I think the one thing you see with Sal at the top of the order, having to play center field and doing all these things, it sometimes can be a little bit stressful. But I'm not saying that he was stressful. I'm just saying that, you know, the one thing you do, you go up there and you try a little bit too hard. And it looks like he'd been pressing a little bit at the top of the order. But then you look at what Dunn has done since he's been in ball games since he's been up this year. And he's been really relaxed at the plate. He's taken the ball, taking pitches deep in the count, and he's been getting on base, hitting the ball to all fields. He hit his first home run the other day. And you see that at bat, you see a guy who's relaxed. That's what the versatility of this ball club is, and that's one of the things that's going to be so good about this club is their versatility. You can move guys to different spots, but I tell you, Quentin Berry made a perfect move with Dunn, because you watch him at the plate, his quietness at the plate, he slows the game down, takes a lot of pitches, and really puts the ball in play. It's not so much the home run. It's putting the ball in play and giving your team a good at-bat. Plus, he runs the bases very well. So, great call by Quentin Berry, and really paid off for the Brewers.
I mean, he ran, he reached almost 29 feet per second on his triple down the right field line. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 if you want to join us on the program. But let's get into my three most important plays from today's game. Just straight into it. Yes, it was a 12-4 game, but it wasn't always that way. And the guy we were talking about just a little bit ago, Sal Frelick, got off the schneid early in this one in the first inning.
Liner to left. That's a base hit. Headed towards the corner. One run is in. They'll send Bowers around third. Crawford has it, puts it in his back pocket. Sal Frelick with a two-run double gives the Brewers a 3-1 lead.
Augie, to me, this was huge as we talk about Frelick pressing, but just for the sake of the game, right, they had already planted one run on the Jake Bowers single, and this was with two strikes and two outs against a guy that's been off to a slow start. And Sal, going back to what he does best, elevated fastball, no problem for me. I can level that off and go to the opposite field. I thought that was the best swing we had seen so far this season from Sal.
You know, Don, I think the one thing you've seen out of this ball club so far this year is the two-strike hitting and what they've been able to do, not with, only with two-strike hitting, but with two outs, how they dig in and they really make that pitcher work, and they give good at-bats. And I think that's one thing you look for the success of this ball club, and what they need to do is they need to do that. They need to have good two-out hits. They need to get runners on base and get those big hits with two strikes. And that's one thing that we've seen, and I thought that was a great at-bat by Sal. Yeah, some people say, yeah, he's struggling a little bit at the beginning of the season, and he's been maybe trying a little bit too hard. But, you know, he's given some really good at-bats, and I thought that was a real key to the ball game. They tied it, two outs, two strikes. He gets a pitch up in the zone, and boy, puts a good swing on it. Those are the type of things that this ball club is going to need to be successful and really be right at the top and battling for the division. So good job by Sal right there. Did a nice job of swinging the bat.
I mean, with the Brewers behind in the count this season, their offense anyway, when they are behind in the count, it's only a 202 average, but that's actually misleading. They've actually got 20 total hits with when they were behind in the count. They've also got a home run. That was a couple today. This actually hasn't included today's stats, so that's certainly going to include and be better by the end of today. So that was our first most important play, Sal Frelick's RBI double to make it 3-1. In the bottom of the first. Second most important play to me is, in my opinion, the player of the game, Wild Bill William Contreras, connecting on his first homer of the season.
1-2 pitch. Hammered a deep left. Way back and gone. William Contreras' first of the year. 6-2 Brewers on a missile by Contreras.
That was a rocket, Jeff Levering on the call, and hey, what do you know? Once again, with two strikes, Contreras tied a career high with four hits today, tied a career high with five runs batted in today. It was his first multi-homer game for the Brewers, his fourth in his career, and a text here from Doug. Is there a better catcher than Contreras? I would say nobody. He just gets better and better this series with the Reds will be interesting. But for Contreras, Augie, he got a silver slugger last night, and he promptly had a good game. Obviously, the Brewers lost, but, man, he is starting to take the leap, and we didn't know there was another leap to take.
Boy, he gives you such good at-bats at the plate. You know, he's so patient. He'll hit the ball off fields. He takes what he's given. You know, sometimes he gets a little aggressive on some of the breaking balls away, but, you know, you got to like his patience at the plate and his manner in which he goes about swinging the bat. You make a mistake on him, and he hits mistakes. He understands what he needs. He looks for ball and zones, and he really puts a good swing on that ball. You hit it. You could tell right from the swing, right from the beginning, that ball was way out of there. He just put a great swing on it. And you talk about key guys and key situations and key guys in the order. That second spot in the Brewers' order has always been a big spot for them to do well. And ever since Contreras has come over, I don't think there's been a better guy hitter that they could have had in that second spot than Contreras, and then you put what he's done behind the plate. I would say, like you said, Dom, he's got to be one of the top two or three catchers in the major leagues.
He certainly is in my book, and the Brewers have been very public about the challenge and the expectation of what he wants to do, but William's not shying away from it. Kobe Bryant used to give challenges to NBA players before seasons, and obviously a lot of Bucks fans know about the one given to Giannis the year before he won the title, obviously. But the Brewers have given one to William Contreras, and it reads with four goals, a Gold Glove Award, another Silver Slugger, another All-Star game, but this time as a catcher, and finally, being top five in MVP voting. And if the Brewers are going to win the division, it's going to take a big year from William Contreras, and I could see all four of those things being in the cards for William this year.
I agree. I think when you look at this ball club, you look at guys that really need to step up, and we're seeing that out of the players that need to step up. And you look at what they've done. Christian is swinging the bat so well. You got Hoskins really going up and giving good games, and Adamas, he is hitting several home runs now, and he's swinging the bat good. But it all goes down. You got to have a key guy that comes in and really comes out big for you. And if you look through all of last year as the season went along, Contreras got better and better and better. And I'll tell you what, he's picked up this year right where he left off last year and just giving that good at bat. And, you know, you put all those awards in front of him. Those are lofty goals to do. But it's something I think when you look at a guy like William Contreras, he knows it's attainable and that he's out to do it.
He's been great. Now, finally, let me get to our last, third most important play from the game. This is a little off the wall here, so stay with me. The Brewers are up 6-2 in the third inning. I could have easily gone with the big fourth or the second homer for William, but I'm going with the first batter of the third inning, and that was Julio Rodriguez, and one of the best plays we have seen this year defensively from the Brewers.
Bottom of the second. This ball is hit off the end of the bat. Shallow center, dying quickly, going out, making a tremendous catch is Bryce Terang in center field over his shoulder. You won't see it done any better than that.
It was fantastic. He is certainly going to be in the cards for a Gold Glove consideration again at second base. Here's why, Augie, and I think you can relate to this. Obviously, the Mariners had scored a run in each of the first two innings. Shutdown innings are so important, and especially important when you get a big frame. This had some whiffs of like college baseball Sunday, where it's just pure chaos, pure offense. But that play against a great base runner, a guy that can steal a bag, instantly helps right the ship for Colin Ray. He actually would end up retiring the side on just 14 pitches. He would not need many more the rest of the day. Bryce Terang making that play, calming things down for Colin Ray, I thought was a massive turning point.
I agree with you. I thought that was an excellent play. And you look at the way the game was going. Seattle was getting guys on base. They were swinging it back, giving Colin Ray a little bit of fits in that first two innings. But that play right there really changed the momentum of the game on as far as what Seattle had. Rodriguez is their guy. He's the guy that gets them started. He's the guy who turns the switch and makes that offense go. And to make a play like that, Terang made, is just unbelievable. Is there a better second baseman in all of baseball right now than Terang? He just makes all the plays, and he did make them look easy. He gets a good jump on the ball. He knows where he has to go to make the good plays on the ball. But that play was just outstanding. Going out, making the catch over short like he did. It just doesn't get any better than that.
And speaking of leaps, he's a perfect 7-for-7 in stolen bases. That leads all of Major League Baseball. He is 9-for-25 at the plate. That's a .360 average and a .414 on base. We're just 30 or so plate appearances into this, but I'm loving seeing this quantum leap that Pat Murphy predicted for Bryce Terang. Granted, it's 1 week, but let's see what that back-to-earth number is going to be for Bryce Terang, because if he's going to be playing as much second base as it seems like right now, the Brewers might have something really, really special up the middle once again this season.
There's no doubt. I think when you look at Terang, you look at what he's done, they say he's put on some weight, you look at him at the plate, he looks so patient at the plate and really swinging a bad. Yeah, I know they said something about the big knob at the end where he could choke up a little bit and get a little bit better swing on the good bat, but you got to look at what he's done. Patience at the plate, being able to take advantage of what you do well. The stolen bases, he's just been outstanding on stolen bases. I think he might be one or two in the major leagues at stealing bases, but you got to look at him as a total ball player. Defensively, he was always very good. He's got that shortstop mannerism and he's got that great arm that he can play, but he plays the position very well. And take the defense, add the offense, he's becoming pretty special.
I agree. We got more with Jerry Augustine here on WTMJ and more from you, the fans, as well. 855-616-1620. Once again, 855-616-1620. If you want to join us here on the program, we do got to talk a little bit pitching. We teased it earlier with Colin Ray. We're going to talk a little pitching coming up next and get to some of these texts and some tweets. 855-616-1620. This is your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Welcome back, Brewers Extra Innings. They win 12-4 over the Mariners and win the series. I'm Dominic Catronio with Jerry Augustine with us. More from him in just a moment, but I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Augie, let's get into Colin Ray's start today, because there were two things about today's start that I thought were extremely important, not just from Ray, but from the pitching staff. Number one, Colin Ray went six innings. And number two, in a blowout, they only needed one more pitcher, and that was Thiago Vieira. Let's start with Colin Ray. Six innings, seven hits, two runs, only one earned, no walks, three strikeouts. What stuck out to you today?
Classic Colin Ray. You know, you look at a guy who goes out and everybody saw he's not overpowering. But I always say when you look at Colin Ray pitch, when you take the square that they have, the strike zone that they show on TV, and if you take an oval from top to bottom in there, one place that a pitcher doesn't want to do, he doesn't want to pitch inside that circle or inside that oval. Colin Ray is excellent at it. He's a guy who plays with the corners. He uses the strike zone up on the top with his good fastball, keeps his breaking ball down, and he pitches to the corners. And what you have to do success when you're not an overpowering pitcher, you have to play the corners, and you have to be able to extend the strike zone, expand that strike zone. I think the one thing that Colin Ray has learned from the middle of last year, or second half of last year up until and starting this year, is the ability to pitch the corners, to use the height and the width of the strike zone, but stay out of that middle part of the strike zone. Don't get behind, get ahead. And that's what he does. Every once in a while, he'll fall behind, but he doesn't give in. He stays on the corners. And I thought what he did real well today is he didn't walk anybody, and that's what he traditionally does. And when he doesn't walk people, he's pretty successful.
He has been really effective in and around the zone. That's his MO. I was talking to some Mariners folks today. You know, like, what do they need to know about Colin Ray? Because he wasn't as big of a piece of this team when the Brewers were in Seattle this time last season. And I was telling him, look, he wants to get you out in three pitches or less. He's going to nibble. If these guys are swinging early, that's exactly what he wants. And you saw that happen the second time through the order when the Mariners found themselves trailing. Because after a 21-pitch first inning, aided in part by that error in left field by Frelick, he threw 11 in the second, 14 in the third, 15 in the fourth, 7 in the fifth, and that was a real gut punch for the Mariners, because that was after that really long inning, had to take out the pitcher because of the comebacker from Frelick, and then gut punch. Oh, yeah, he just threw 7 pitches and retired the side against the top of the order, and then 13 pitches in the sixth inning. That's classic Colin Ray, like you're talking about, and how effective he can be around the strike zone. His fastball was extraordinarily effective today as well. He threw a total of 58 four-seamers, sinkers, or cutters. Okay, so stay with me here. 58 four-seamers, cutters, or sinkers. He only threw a total of 12 of those for balls. 12 out of 58 pitches were balls of those three types. That is what Colin Ray needs to be successful.
There's no doubt. I'll tell you, we talked about it earlier. You put that oval up in the strike zone, the ability to play a pitch to the corners. And I think that's one thing that Colin does really well. He knows that early in the count, you can throw that four-seam fastball on in his zone and get some activity on it. Like you said, he wants to get hitters a swing at. Once he gets ahead, he uses that two-seam sinking fastball extremely well. And then he pitches it to the upper part of the strike zone. But the abilities to play with the corners, staying out of that middle of plate and using that fastball effectively is so good. That 15 when he came on, he had the 7 pitches was just it was just classic throwing strikes, getting the ball on the middle part of plate and down, and getting the pitch to make him swinging at the at bat early, and that's exactly what he did. And that's Colin Ray. That's where he is successful.
This text from Ricky in Honey Creek. Contreras just missing third homer of the game. What a great offensive game for the Brewers. And Colin Ray did swell and didn't have to use our good bullpen. That's the key that I want to get into. Thiago Vieira, he gets the technicality box score save. In case you weren't familiar, you get, if you close the game and you throw at least 3 innings, you earn a save. And Thiago gets his second MLB save. He set a new career high in strikeouts in a game today as well. As the Brewers are in the middle of a really, really daunting stretch, especially with their depleted pitching staff right now, today was game 3 of 13 in a row, also game 3 of 39 games in 41 days. The fact that they only needed Thiago Vieira today, gave back-to-back days off for Uribe, gave a couple of days off for Yoel Piamps, gave maybe more time for Trevor Megill to recover, maybe he gets activated this week. The bullpen really needed a day like today, and Thiago stepped up and delivered.
He sure did. I tell you what, you got to like the young man, the way he's throwing the baseball. And we saw in his spring training that he has electric stuff. He was able to pound strike zone. He's got a great fastball, good breaking ball. He stays in the strike zone, and that's just impressive. And when you talk about Murph making decisions on the pitching staff with Chris Hook, here's a perfect day when you got a lead like that where you can put a young guy in the ball game who's thrown the ball well and build that confidence. And just like you said, with all the games that are coming up, this tough stretch you got coming up, they're going to need that bullpen, and they need guys to go in and pitch multi-innings. Right today, Vieira, I thought, pitched extremely well. He gave up the home run, but he got the ball over the middle, played a little bit. But those things do happen. But the way he threw the ball, the way he stayed in the strike zone, I thought was just excellent. He's throwing the ball well, and they sure couldn't use a talented young man like that right down the as they go down the stretch here and get that confidence and become an integral part of this pitching staff, especially this great bullpen they have.
So as we look ahead, talked about it earlier in Brewers' warm-up, that Wade Miley seems to be that TBA circled on Wednesday in Cincinnati for his return to the rotation, but that will be short. Aaron Ashby will get the ball tomorrow for his first big league game since 2022. I don't know how long that will go for him, and it won't be the same Aaron Ashby that we saw in 2022. He's sitting more 92-93 these days, not sitting the 96-97 like we saw when he first came up. He did have shoulder surgery, of course. But then you've got Joe Ross on Tuesday, likely Miley on Wednesday, and then back to Freddie Peralta on Thursday, and into a six-man rotation. So my question to you, Augie, is how long do you think they should stick with this six-man rotation, assuming things go according to plan right now with Junis on the IL, because the Brewers are going to need all the help they can get. It gives you an extra arm in your rotation, but it takes an arm away from your bullpen.
It sure does. But, you know, you got to look at what the situation is with this ball club. You got two guys coming in this series. You got Joe Ross, who's just made his first start since 2022, I think it was, when he made last two to ball very well. You got the guys with the two lefties starting on Monday and Wednesday were coming off of years where Miley was out for a while on spring training, and they got Ashby thrown tomorrow, who hasn't pitched in a while, hasn't started a game in the major leagues. This is what you do. You go to a six-man rotation to keep your staff healthy, not putting so much pressure on them that you're looking at putting guys on short rest dates or whatever. I think the Brewers are doing an excellent job at going to that six-man rotation because they're not 100% healthy. But what they want to do is get these guys in game, build them up, get them strong, so as the season goes along, they have more options. And right now, when you look at this ball club and what they have to do, especially with the streak that they got coming up, having a six-man rotation is going to do exactly that. It's going to give them the rest, get the guys to get the work in that they need to do between starts, but yet allow those guys to build up, get that confidence that they need, who haven't been a consistent starter over the last couple of years.
It's going to be a trying few weeks for the Brewers. Their next off day isn't until a week from Thursday. Furthermore, there's some rain in the forecast this week in Cincinnati, so doubleheaders could make things hairy as well. All right, we got one more segment with Jerry Augustine, more texts rolling in as well, and some tweets from the player of the game poll, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 if you want to join us on the program. My Twitter is Dom_Catronio. I've got the player of the game poll up there as well. Stay with us. We still got plenty to talk about right here in your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Brewers win 12-4 the final. They are 6-2 on the young season. Fun times indeed. I'm Dominic Catronio. Former Brewers pitcher Jerry Augustine is still with us as well. I want to get to the phone lines here, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Doug, on the way back from the game, back to Baraboo. You're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, good afternoon, Dom and Augie. Say, it's our third game so far this year, and the big new scoreboard and the extra scoreboard out in right field, a lot of information coming at us. I was wondering if Augie could explain the sweeper pitch. I don't know. Is that a changeup curveball?
Well, the sweeper pitch technically, what that is actually it's a slider that you back off a little bit. It's make it a bigger slider, and it's more of a, when they talk about a cutter, or a slider is typically a short breaking pitch. You throw it real hard, it breaks on a downward plane. The curveball is over the top and goes down. But this pitch is more of like a in-between pitch that goes more east-west than it goes north-south. And the sweeper has been a good pitch. You can throw it soft. You can throw it hard. It's a location pitch. You can throw on both sides of the plate. A lot of times you'll see hitters throw pitchers throw it so it sweeps off the plate, or what they do, it sweeps onto the plate. And I think that's maybe how it got its name, because you can throw it outside coming back over the plate, or throw it down the middle and sweep off the plate. It's a more east-west pitch than it is a north-south pitch, but it's very, 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 very good pitch. In fact, when I pitched, I actually threw more of a sweeper than I did a slider. Everybody said I had a good slider and a good breaking ball. I actually threw more of a sweeper pitch than I did a true slider, where I could operate it on both sides of the plate.
That's great stuff. I appreciate that, Augie. Thanks for the call there, Doug. And we're getting deep into the process. And that's the primary breaking ball for Colin Ray. He didn't throw many breaking balls today. 6 curves, 9 sweepers. He also started to work on that split change that he has when the game was out of hand. But he was certainly fantastic today. I want to broach this question to you, Augie. This is really good stuff. A good question on our text line here from the 262 area code. Do you guys feel like there's a palpable difference through this early stretch of games with Murphy compared to Council from last year? I think the style is a little bit different, and to be fair, the roster is a little bit different too. I want to be fair to Council here. Last year, their backup first baseman was Luke Voit. Jesse Winker was leaned on for power on this club, and little did we know, Rowdy Tellez would not really pan out, but they were just starting to scrape the surface of what Contreras would be able to do. Bryce Strang was in there. Weimer was in there. Mitchell was injured after 2 weeks, so I do see a different style. I think the demeanor is pretty similar, but the aggressiveness, in my opinion, is the biggest difference. They aren't afraid to be thrown out on the bases if they're trying to take an extra base. I don't think Craig Council would have even given them the opportunity to steal as many bags as they have or try to go first or third as often as they have.
I think the organization is adapting to the style of baseball that's being played in today's ballgame has a lot to do with it, Dom. You look at this roster, even compared to last year, the roster, you had so many young players on it. You take a guy like Bryce Terang, who's changing it. You look at what he's doing this year, that experience that these guys have. I think what Murph has done, he takes that college experience that he had and says, you know, young players only get better if you allow them to get better. And I think he uses that knowledge that he had when he coached on the college level, plus the great experience he had coaching with Craig Council, says, you know what, I'm going to go and let these guys play. We have a roster that's built of former players, a lot of veteran players, but the young players are going to make a big difference. I'm going to go let them play. I'm going to let them go, and I'm going to challenge them. And that's what he's doing. He's allowing them to be themselves and learn the game, and it's been paid off so far. And I think it's that college experience that he had, saying, you know what, it's that patience you got to have. Craig Council was in a little bit different position with the roster he had. But I give credit, when I look at this roster, I give so much credit to Matt Arnold. He went out and he figured out what he wanted to do, got some good young players that are good young ball players that love the game, that go out and they want to do well, and they go out and they play hard. And then he let Murph take over, and Murph took him over and just said, hey, go play. I'm going to sit and watch. And I remember an interview that Murph did with the opening day. He was asked, how do you feel, Murph, on your opening day? And he says, it doesn't matter how I feel. It's the 26 guys that sit on that bench. And that's really the truth. Those guys going playing hard every day makes a big difference, and it's really paying off for this ball club.
It's been a great start. Again, 6-2 to start the season, and now they're going to have a divisional matchup, dodging raindrops and also dodging the eclipse tomorrow against the Cincinnati Reds. Now, the Reds are an interesting ball club because they've been winning games, but not the way that they thought they would be doing. So they lose today 3-1. They're 5-4 on the season. Ellie De La Cruz has not got off to a great start, but other guys in their lineup have. I mean, Ellie's batting 6th in their order. He was 0-2 with 2 strikeouts once again today. But Encarnacion Strand's been off to a slow start. Spencer Steer has been phenomenal. But other than that, they've been really injured and dealing with some sort of things. The Brewers are going to see some of their better arms. Graham Ashcraft, Hunter Green are among the arms. Frankie Montas they are going to see this week as well. this is going to be kind of the first of, okay, are the Reds really a contender? Are they really grown up? Because we heard about all what they were doing all last midsummer last year, and then the Brewers, quite frankly, just handled them like they were their little brother. You know, like you can never beat up on your big brother sort of thing. And the Brewers, the series going into the All-Star break and out of the All-Star break, three consecutive 1-0 wins just always kept them away. Devin Williams held them to 0-27 against him. This is a big early series because the Reds want to assert themselves in this Central Division, and it's the first Brewers opportunity to face a team in their own division.
I agree, Don. I think this is going to be a fun. It's going to be fun to see. You're back in your division. You're playing what you playing where you have to play well, and that's it against teams in your division. And I think you look at the Cincinnati ball club, and yeah, they thought they were going to be a little bit better offensive. We thought they were going to score more runs. They're, when you look at Great American Ballpark, a great ballpark to hit. But I think when you look at the Cincinnati Reds, theoretically, what you see out of them over the year, they've always played good, solid defense, and they're still built around that solid defense. How do you have a good defense? You got to have great starting pitching. You got to add to that, you know, good solid bullpen. And I think that's what the Reds are doing. They're young in their starting rotation, but they're solid. And I think that's one thing we're going to see. This is going to be a great matchup to see what our guys, Ashby and Ross and guys coming off the coming off and making their first starts and with Wade Miley against a Cincinnati team. That's got their full force, their best of their young pitchers coming right at the Brewers. It's going to be an interesting, good battle between Cincinnati's pitching, our offense that's doing real well, but also it's going to be a battle with Cincinnati and struggling a little bit on the hitting side, but seeing how good that Ashby, Ross, and Miley along with Freddie can be really pitch against that good ball club.
And in a small ballpark as well. And one thing I certainly can guarantee as well is there's going to be some stolen bases. The Reds are the only team with more stolen bases than the Brewers at this point in the season. The Reds are 18-22. The Brewers are 16-18. So the Brewers have a better success rate, but the Reds just have two more steals. So we'll certainly see both teams running wild this weekend. As we wrap up our Player of the Game poll, that just closed on my Twitter. And of course, William Contreras ran away with it. 74% of the vote on nearly 300 votes on that Twitter. But a couple of good write-ins here. Oliver Dunn was a great write-in, I thought, in his first game as a big league leadoff hitter. Also, Colin Ray was the unsung hero. Is Sal Frelick a bad answer? He made the error, but then turned the momentum in the bottom of the first with his hit. That's what we talked about in the first segment. Sam tweets, Vieira being able to finish those last three innings was incredibly important for the long stretch coming up. He honestly gets my vote and another vote in here for Oliver Dunn as well. What do you have for your player of the game, Augie?
Well, it's got to be Contreras. I mean, you have a game where you go 4-for-5 and then score three runs and drive in five runs. For your team, that's been pretty good. But, you know, adding to the list that you got, what about Bowers over at first base? He's 2-for-5. He scored two runs, had a big RBI in the first inning. I tell you, these are guys that are stepping up. Great defensive play. He made some great defensive plays, and he's done a great job at defense over at first base. So let's add him into the realm. Just give him a little pat on the back for having a good ball game. But there's a lot of guys you could have, but nothing competes with William Contreras in the game he had today.
Yeah, very quietly, Jake Bowers, he made a couple of really nice plays, like you said today, very quietly, is already a positive defender in defensive run save on the young season. That's something that I might have to pull him aside for a Brewers warm-up conversation later on this season. I like your little call there with Jake Bowers, certainly getting some respect of what he's been able to do defensively as Rhys Hoskins has been DHing a lot to start this season. It's going to be a 7-game road trip for the Brewers, then they come back home for 3 against the Padres before their next off day, 4 against the Reds, 3 against the Orioles, 3 against the Padres. This is going to be a very fun stretch of baseball, 10 in a row, as it's a happy flight over to Cincinnati. And Jerry Augustine, thanks as always for your analysis and your words as we're breaking down a fun win today, 12-4 over the Mariners. We wish you well. Stay dry and dodging raindrops today, and have a great day, my friend.
All right. Great being with you, Dom. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, Jerry Augustine, former Brewers pitcher, joining us here on Brewers Extra Innings. You'll hear him periodically all season long here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. So you've heard plenty from us. Let's hear from the manager. Pat Murphy's coming up next on the other side of this break on WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here!
time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Rubber game of this series between the Mariners and the Brewers. Young right-hander Emerson Hancock, a rookie for the Mariners, going up against the experienced Colin Ray. Things got going quickly in this contest for both teams. The Mariners opened the scoring in the first inning on an unearned run, thanks in part to an error by Sal Frelick. But he made sure to take the chance to repent for that error in the bottom of the first inning.
Liner to left. That's a base hit. Headed towards the corner. One run is in. They'll send Bowers around third. Crawford has it, puts it in his back pocket. Sal Frelick with a two-run double gives the Brewers a 3-1 lead.
Then things would start really popping for the Brewers. Also in that first inning, an RBI single from Jake Bowers against Hancock. So the Brewers leading 3-1 after one. Ray returned for the second, allowed a leadoff double to Dylan Moore, then a single by Josh Rojas. But after that RBI single, things got locked in for Colin Ray. He would retire the next three batters in order after that. Then in the second inning, some more excitement for the Brewers. A leadoff single by Bryce Terang. He stole second base, went second to third on a single by Blake Perkins. An RBI ground out for Oliver Dunn made it a 4-2 ball game. And then the man of the hour, William Contreras, with a silver slugger on his mantelpiece, made sure he's beginning the campaign to start another silver slugger year.
1-2 pitch. Hammer to deep left. Way back and gone. William Contreras' first of the year. 6-2 Brewers on a missile by Contreras.
Jeff Levering on the call for both of those here on WTMJ. So now the Brewers lead by a 6-2 score. Colin Ray started to hit his groove. He had a shutdown third inning on just 14 pitches. The Brewers were held scoreless for the first time in the third. But part of that third inning, though, defensively for the Brewers, featured one of the plays of the year already for Bryce Terang.
Bottom of the second. This ball is hit off the end of the bat. Shallow center, dying quickly, going out, making a tremendous catch is Bryce Terang in center field over his shoulder. You won't see it done any better than that.
Lane Grindle's call here on WTMJ. Another fantastic defensive effort from Terang. Things got wacky in the fourth inning. Oliver Dunn leading off today for the first time in his big league career, and he's paying off his manager and his coaches who suggested it.
A one pitch. Line down the right field line. This is a fair ball. It'll roll into the corner. Extra bases for Dunn. Makes the turn at first. He's not stopping at second. He's on his way to third. Took him a while to dig it out in the right field corner. He's into third, standing up with a leadoff triple.
His first big league triple for Dunn. The next batter, Contreras again.
Hancock looks in. 2-0 pitch. High drive. Deep right field. Railings back at the track. Wall. It is off the top of the wall. Contreras on his way to second. He is out. Scoring from third is done. It's a 7-2 Brewers lead, and that just barely missed getting out of here.
Literally by a foot, it hit the yellow line in front of the Mariners' bullpen. Nonetheless, the Brewers added on. The next batter, Willy Adames, no doubt if this one was over the yellow line.
1-0 pitch. High fly ball, deep left field, down the left field line. This ball is gone! Willy Adames left no doubt about that one.
Almost a 38-degree launch angle. It was a roof scraper. His second of the season and series for Adames. The Brewers would add on as Hancock was done after that at bat with Adames. They added on a bases loaded walk, also an RBI ground out to bring their total to 10. But why not make it a dozen against a position player pitching? William Contreras trying to do something he had not done yet in a Brewers uniform, and that was have a multi-homer game.
Brewers up 10-2 as Contreras sends it to center. It is way back, and it's gone! Another homer for William Contreras. The Brewers have hung a dozen on Seattle.
Jeff Levering on the call once again. But don't lose sight of the pitching today. Colin Ray earns the victory. Six strong frames for him. And Thiago Vieira saves the bullpen. Three-inning save, and he ended it in style.
0-2 again. Got him looking. Ball game over. Thiago Vieira picks up the save, and the Brewers take 2 of 3 from Seattle. Final, 12-4.
One of the oldest rules in the books. If you finish the game and you pitch at least three innings, you get a save, no matter the score. Second big league save for Thiago Vieira in his career. Now the Brewers head the road. They go to Cincinnati, a four-game set with the Reds coming up this week. We'll start previewing that series. We're also going to take a look around the headlines of Major League Baseball coming up in our final segment after this on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. I'm on top of the world, eh? I'm on top. We got a few minutes left in the program, a longer than usual Brewers extra innings. Brewers win 12-4 today. Bucks coming up here in just a little bit right here on your home of the Bucks as well, 620 WTMJ. I'm Dominic Catronio. Let me give you our upcoming broadcast schedule for the Brewers and how many Brewers extra innings we are going to have here on your home of the Brewers. We got a few night games this week, and we will have Brewers extra innings after those games as well. Coverage will begin at 5:05 each of the next three nights from Cincinnati as the Brewers take on the Reds, and I will have Brewers extra innings after each of those games for a 5:40 Central Time first pitch. And then on Thursday, it's a day game. It is a straight-up noon first pitch, so our coverage will begin at about 11:30 on Thursday morning. And then Friday, back to a night game in Baltimore, a 5:35 coverage start for a 6 o'clock first pitch from Camden Yards. And I'll be back again, Brewers extra innings on Friday night, Saturday night, or I should say Saturday afternoon, and Sunday afternoon. We will also have a Brewers weekly on Thursday nights, hopefully recapping a very fun four-game series against the Reds. So while we don't have a live post-game show on Thursday, just a little bit later that night at 8 o'clock, we will have Brewers Weekly. Take a look around the Major League scoreboard today. A lot of rain, of course. Thank goodness for the roof. And in fact, they just opened up the roof and the panels here, or at least the panels anyway. And I can feel that chill here in the BEI booth for at American Family Field. But the Twins, they were postponed due to inclement weather against the Guardians from their opening weekend. The Dodgers and Cubs have been in a rain delay for a while. They're hoping to start in about 15 minutes time. The Cubs are up 6-0 in the bottom of the fourth, so that game not yet official. They're in a rain delay earlier in the bottom of the ninth in St. Louis, but that game has now gone final. They did get in there and get it done. Marlins, they won their first game of the year, 10-3 over the Cardinals. Congrats to Max Meyer on his first big league win. The Giants just took the lead 3-2 over the Padres on a wacky play in the top of the ninth, or in the bottom of the eighth inning. They lead in the top of the ninth again, 3-2 Giants over the Padres. Red Sox beating up on the Angels in the bottom of the eighth inning at the Big A. It's 8-0 Sox in that one. Sunday Night Baseball tonight will be Astros visiting the Rangers. Astros are off to an ice-cold start. They are 2-7. The Rangers are 6-2. Other finals from earlier today, the Pirates beat the Orioles 3-2. It's the Pirates' home opening weekend right now for the black and gold. The Nats beat the Phillies 3-2. Braves over Diamondbacks 5-2. The Yankees are on a roll. They win 8-3 over the Blue Jays. 8-2 start to the season for the Bronx Bombers. They'll be here in a few weeks. Another home run from Giancarlo Stanton. It's his third of the season, and they all beat up on former Brewer prospect Bowden Francis. He was in that trade, or Bowden Francis, excuse me, as Francis was in the trade to acquire Rowdy Tellez along with Trevor Richards over there to the Toronto Blue Jays a couple of seasons back. Mets beat the Reds 3-1 today as well, and the A's take the series from the Tigers 7-1. A big day for Zach Geloff. Geloff went 4-for-5 with a triple and a homer in that one as the A's win their first series of the year. Again, a four-game set tomorrow for the Brewers, starting it with the Reds, and with Aaron Ashby returning and after all of his shoulder issues that he's had the last year plus or so, it will be great to see him back on the mound. Again, I said this earlier in the program, I'll say it again. The velo is not the same as it once was, but he is learning that he can be effective with a little bit more movement, and maybe watching a guy like Colin Ray today sink and dip and cut and move can make maybe a little bit of inspiration for Aaron Ashby tomorrow against a very talented Cincinnati Reds lineup. So here's the rotation. Tomorrow, it'll be Aaron Ashby against Graham Ashcraft. Again, it'll be a 5:40 first pitch here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ, as I'm pulling up the probables grid here as the second game of the series on Tuesday will be Frankie Montas against Joe Ross. That's Montas, the opening day starter for the Reds. Then on Wednesday, it is scheduled to be Hunter Green for the Reds and probably Wade Miley on Wednesday. And then Thursday, the day game, the getaway day, Nick Martinez against Freddie Peralta. So all righties going for the Reds, two lefties going for the Brewers, and then they will head to Baltimore, and D.L. Hall will get the start against his former club, which also could include maybe seeing Corbin Burns on Sunday, depending on how they arrange their rotation coming up, if they want to give him an extra day of rest or if they want to stick with their five-man rotation coming off of tomorrow's off day. So there is a chance that we see a double reunion next weekend with D.L. Hall on Friday night against the O's and Corbin Burns on Sunday afternoon against the Brewers. And that'll be the only series of the year against the Baltimore Orioles. Wanted to get some thoughts in here at the very end of the program about everything that's gone down with pitcher injuries, and a lot of folks are trying to make a lot bigger deal of it. I want to just, I know I'm shouting to the void here, but the last bit of this that I want to make clear about pitching injuries is there has always been pitching injuries. There will always be pitching injuries. There is not going to be one sole cause for all of it. You could say, oh, it's because we're throwing sweepers all of a sudden that puts so much stress on your arm. Oh, it's because they got rid of the sticky stuff and the guys have to grip harder and that causes more tension and they're suddenly not able to do it. Or we're throwing year-round. These guys shouldn't be throwing max effort every single time they're out there and they're throwing year-round. Or they're not long tossing enough. And there's, see how many different thoughts and comments there are about why there are pitching injuries. I recommend books a lot. I love reading baseball books. I'm a nonfiction kind of guy. I'll say it over and over again. Jeff Passan, author, of course, writer on ESPN, formerly of Yahoo Sports. Jeff Passan wrote a book literally called The Arm and the Billion-Dollar Industry That Is Pitching. And it's topical because Steven Strasburg is officially retired at the age of 35. He was certainly a freak arm, and ever since that 2019 World Series, we never saw him again. It's a really sad story when you think about it. And that this is just not a normal motion for the human body to do. There will always be injuries in this sport. So don't try to fall for the bait. Don't try to get lost in the sauce of, oh man, this guy's Spencer Strider is getting. Spencer Strider's already had a Tommy John surgery. There's never a guarantee that it's going to stick around. Yeah, you can throw harder, but there's no guarantee it's going to stay because you've already blown it out once. And you look at guys like now Shane Bieber. What does he do better than anybody else? He spins the ball. So the fact that it's harder for him to spin the ball in today's baseball environment with slicker seams and no sticky stuff, maybe that has something to do with it. Or Yuri Perez, who's like 20 years old and is a lot more taxed on that arm than maybe we realize, and he's throwing 100 miles an hour. There's something to that. Garrett Cole has been injured. There's no one-size-fits. Oh, I mean, look at Jacob Junis. He's got a shoulder impingement right now, and Junis looked great all spring long. So don't get lost in it. This happens every single year. These first few weeks of the regular season, it's like a minefield, and hopefully the Brewers don't have to go any deeper into that minefield that they've already done so far with Wade Miley and Jacob Junis on the injured list. That's going to do it for today's program. My thanks again to Jerry Augustine for joining us on the show. Also, our producer today was Evan Witalison. Brewers back in action tomorrow on the road in Cincinnati, 5:05 airtime. I'm Dominic Catronio. They win 12-4 and win the series. Until next time, keep on swinging.